Calvin Coolidge was America's 30th president. He was sworn into office in August 1923 after President Warren Harding's death and was elected in his own right the following year. After he left office in 1929, he was largely ignored by historians. But now his legacy is being revisited in a new book that explores how Coolidge's worldview can be applied to modern politics and life. Calvin Coolidge is not a well-known president. What most Americans know of him is limited to his nickname, Silent Cal. He was reserved, introspective, and often seemed uncomfortable at social events. But this man of few words got a lot accomplished as president. He reduced taxes and lowered federal spending, signed a bill granting full citizenship to American Indians, and limited immigration. He also made himself available to lawmakers and reporters, a novelty in the early 20th century.
Coolidge had weekly breakfast meetings with members of Congress. He had a press conference on average every 4 days.
Jim Douglas is governor of Vermont and one of the 21 politicians, journalists, activists, and thinkers who contributed their thoughts to Why Coolidge Matters, a collection of essays about the 30th president. In his essay, the governor highlights how Coolidge reflects the character and values of Vermont, where Coolidge was born and raised. Douglas says Calvin Coolidge inspires him.
There are really two ways. One is his commitment to fiscal integrity, to reducing debt, to balancing the budget, to lowering taxes, something we did in Vermont in our legislative session this year. Secondly, I take from the Coolidge legacy the values of civility, integrity, honesty, straightforwardness, of communicating in a transparent way with the people he served and on a frequent basis. He was very open. That's the kind of bipartisanship and transparency that I think the American people seek today.
Other contributors to Why Coolidge Matters include former legislator and Massachusetts governor Michael Dukakis, presidential scholar and author Peter Schramm, and John Kerry. The Democratic senator's essay about the Republican president is titled America Needs a New Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge also showed a praiseworthy commitment to peacekeeping in American foreign relations by signing the Kellogg-Briand Pact of 1928, which committed major powers in Europe and Asia to renounce war as an instrument of national policy in their relations with one another. Though history shows that the Kellogg-Briand Pact did not have its exact desired effect, it became a founding principle of international law.
On domestic policy, Calvin Coolidge was a champion of smaller government.
Coolidge had a great quote of, you know, there's no dignity quite so impressive as living within your means. And I try to achieve that myself, as well as hopefully that's something I think the nation could take a cue from as well.
Christopher Coolidge Jeter is the president's great-grandson. He says Coolidge was a true public servant. He held more public offices than any other president, and was a driver of many reforms, including women's suffrage and tax cuts. He was a fine writer who not only wrote his own speeches, but also an autobiography. Jeter says he's happy that his great-grandfather's legacy is being revisited.
I think it's great that folks are taking a second look at Coolidge. I think sometimes he gets a short shrift in the historian's perspective because there weren't any great crises or wars that occurred during his tenure. But I think when you re-examine his character, values, and strong moral beliefs, there's a lot that can be learned and applied to today's world.
Jeter says he has never called attention to his presidential connection. In fact, before he was married, his longtime roommates didn't know of his relation to Coolidge until they received wedding invitations stating his middle name. Growing up a Coolidge, Jeter says, means being proud and modest at the same time.
Let me provide you with a story. The White House, for every president, actually sends a wreath in commemoration of the birth of every president. So before the 4th of July, which was Coolidge's birthday, my grandfather, Calvin Coolidge's son, John, and I, when I was young, would go over to the cemetery in Plymouth, Vermont, and tidy up around the headstones and make sure everything was all set for the following 4th of July festivities. And so as we were there trimming around the headstones, a fellow stopped by and asked some questions to us, not, of course, knowing who we were. He made the comment as he was leaving that it must be quite an honor to take care of a presidential gravesite, to which my grandfather and I just nodded, and my grandfather never let the cat out of the bag and said who he was and just kind of went about his business. So I take a lot of pride and try to live my life the same way.
Christopher Coolidge Jeter says he hopes the new book, Why Coolidge Matters, will add a valuable new perspective to the ongoing debate over America's future. For Faiza El Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.